Turn back to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. God, in this chapter, is continuing to give comfort to His people. God is always giving comfort to His people. You'll notice back in chapter 50 at verse 10, it said, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" He's not talking about walking in gospel darkness as far as how God saves sinners, how God saved me, how God saved you, how God can be a just God and a Savior. But walking in, and I believe he's speaking here about that providential darkness, that things come upon us that we don't quite understand. And we walk through them and things happen, you say, "I don't understand." And you're walking in some kind of, it's a form of darkness. And he says, let that person trust in the name of the Lord. And I experienced something of this. I was reading this today, and I thought, I experienced something of this in business. I've been in business this year 13 years. This month, 13 years. And about 10 years ago, the Lord brought Paul Thacker into the business. And we went on a building spree. We were going to do what the business needed to do in order to be a business, in order to, make money and make a living out of it. And after we built the building and bought the equipment and we did all of that, the Lord took Paul home. And the two customers I had that was going to take care of that equipment totally disappeared. Never even developed. They didn't give us the first thing. And the next thing I knew, I was sitting out there by myself thinking, "Lord, why? What's going on here? It came so easy and it went so quickly. And yet, I was sitting there, and I think, when I look at this verse, it's like a child of light. The child of light are those who believe God. And I was sitting there in darkness as to why this happened. I couldn't understand. But I learned this. I learned this over these years that have gone by. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. That's all I need to do. Just continue to follow that. You just continue to follow and trust in Him who does all things well. And I think this chapter 51 is a continuation of comfort that He's given to this people who's walking in darkness. They are going to go into captivity. And I know there's going to be those among the Israelites here that believe God. There's an elect among the elect here that He's speaking to them. And they're going to go into this captivity. And they're going to be sitting there going, "Where's the Lord?" And He's saying, "If you just trust me as you walk." And notice here He says, and notice this verse, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness?" You don't stop. If there's anything I learned out of this whole experience, you do not stop. You don't quit. You don't stop and you just keep walking. You trust Him. You trust Him. As Paul said to me once, he said, "I dig this way. If the Lord stops it, then I'll turn and I'll dig this way. If He stops it, then I'll turn and dig this way." And I've learned to do that. I've learned you just keep digging this way and this way. And eventually you'll come out on the same path He's predestined to you all along. And that's what He's giving comfort here. And even though the church has her enemies, she can expect the Lord to help her. You can expect the Lord's help. It won't fail. You can expect it. His blessings will be upon her, even though she cannot always detect it. She will not always be cast down.
But God shall help her, as the Scripture says in that right there.
Now he says this in verse 1. Hearken to me. We should always be ready to listen to God. Children should always be ready to listen to their father, shouldn't they? Always. Only a fool would stop his ears when wisdom speaks. And God says, listen to me, hearken to me. And notice to whom he's speaking here. Ye that follow after righteousness. This is a mark of God's people. They truly follow after righteousness. They follow after the Lord, their righteousness. And they follow after a life of righteousness. They walk godly in this present evil world. They walk that way. Their life walk is after righteousness. That's what the Lord... You that follow after. That's the tenor of their life. They walk and they follow after Christ, who's their righteousness. And they follow after a life of righteousness. And ye that seek the Lord, here's another description. This people who follow after righteousness also continually seek the Lord. They continually, not just once in a while, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. This is an all day, everyday thing. They continually seek the Lord. They follow after Him. Now how they do this? How do they do these that seek the Lord? How do we do this? Well, first of all, we do it in His Word. We seek the Lord in His Word. Apart from this book, you cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it. He's revealed in the pages of this book. And then we seek Him among His people right here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Now listen to them. There am I in the midst of them. You believe He's here tonight? If more people really believed that, they'd be here, wouldn't they? This room would be packed if they really believed it. And then we seek Him in prayer. We call upon Him. We don't just say words, just like you pray. We're not just saying words. We truly seek the Lord in prayer. O thou that hearest prayer. Our God hears prayer. He hears our prayers. He's our life. The man who does not seek the Lord need not expect any comfort from Him. You need not expect any comfort if you never seek the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. And He says this, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Now we know that we have been chiseled off the rock of humanity. We know that God set some apart from Adam's race to make His sons and daughters through the Lord Jesus Christ, in, by, and through Him. We know that. And we know that He dug us from the pit of corruption and made us vessels of mercy. He just took us off of that and made us vessels of mercy. But the rock He says here for them to look to here is Abraham. And I think the whole of the pit here he's speaking of is Sarah's dead womb. You know, Sarah was 90 years old when this happened, when she had Isaac. And she was, this speaks of the deadness of Sarah's womb. And God says, you look to Abraham. You look at him. You look what an example he was. An example of faith. He said, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. Got him out away from that crowd. Took him out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Got him out of that idolatry. Called him out of there. And I blessed him. And look what come out of him. And God blessed him. And increased him. Why should God, or why would God tell us to look to Abraham? Well, I think, first of all, because he's an example of faith. You look at all that Abraham went through. Look, God told him to go kill his own son. What did he do? What God told him to do. You don't hear of any arguments, do you? You don't hear of any. He did what God said for him to do. Look back over here in Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. Here's why he's telling him to look to Abraham. In verse 16, Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, now listen, who against hope, he was 99 years old. God said, you're going to have a son. 99 years old. Sarah was 90. Think about that. He believed. Who against hope believed in hope? He believed God. That's what he did. He believed God. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. He didn't say, Lord, my body, I'm too old. My body's dead. My body is past bearing or giving seed. He said, he didn't say that at all, did he? And this is why he's telling them, look, Abraham believed God. Even in the darkest times, Abraham believed God. Even when it seemed to be an impossibility, and it was with men, but not with God. It's never impossible with God. No matter how hopeless the situation looks, or how black and bleak it looks, I know this. I know this. It's, with God, all things are possible. It's possible. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet two people here, not just one, yet two people who were old and past that age. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't say, that's not possible. No, he believed God. He believed that God was going to do just as he promised. He believed that. He was strong in faith, he says, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. That's what Paul said. Paul used that word, didn't he? I am persuaded that he's what? Able to keep that which I've committed. I'm persuaded. And Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. It didn't matter what the situation looked like. It didn't matter. God's able to do it. God's able to perform all that he's promised. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's why he said, look at Abraham. Look back there at Abraham. Look at that rock from which you were hewn. And the hole of the pit unto Sarah, he says here, that bare you. Sarah also believed God. I know that Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed also. If you read back over Genesis 17. But they believed God. And Sarah believed God. Abraham did not believe God for Sarah. Sarah believed God also. And Abraham believed God. She believed God herself, even while her body was now dead. As I said, with God, all things are possible. We should never stagger. Boy, I do. We should never stagger through unbelief at the promises of God, no matter how bad it looks. The Scripture says the just shall live by faith. And that's through every aspect of life. That's whether you're down here in the valley or on the mountaintop, we live by faith. And then it says here in verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. This is where he's headed. He's going to tell them he's going to comfort his people. He'll comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody shall be heard in her. That's right. The church may be small in number on this earth. And sometimes her light seems to just flicker. It looks like it's just a little flicker there. But be assured of this. God has given us this comfort. God will bless her. God's church, the bride of Christ, will always be blessed. Even though she may not always be able to detect it, but he will bless her. God the Father made a covenant with His Son concerning her. And He'll not break that covenant. God is not a covenant breaker. God's not. He'll bless her. He'll bless her for Christ's sake. He'll bless her. That one man, Christ Jesus, whom God called alone and blessed him, just like Abraham. He called Abraham alone. Well, Christ is that. He's also a man whom God called alone and blessed him. And all his seed is in him. All that promised seed that he spoke to Abraham about, which really belongs to Christ, they shall be blessed. Oh, they'll be blessed in him. The church may look a little desolate now and then, but just wait. You just wait. Her end will be joy and gladness. Our end is joy and gladness. And thanksgiving will be found in her walls. You just wait. Wait till the end of it and you'll see. And he says again here in verse 4, "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation." You notice here he says, my people. I'm talking to my people. I'm not talking to just any people. I'm talking to my people. I'm talking to my nation. That's who I'm talking to. The blessing belongs to them that are His. Those that are in Christ, those who are born of God, that's the ones he's talking to. Those are the ones that are going to be blessed in Him. And he says this, "For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people." Here's the law he's talking about, the law of liberty. The gospel. The gospel. He said, "A law shall proceed from me." The gospel proceeded from the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came into this world, he preached the gospel. He set the captive free. He proclaimed liberty to the captive. He came and preached the gospel to us. That's what he did. And he said here, "And it shall rest, it will remain." That's what he's saying. "It shall rest for the light of the people. It will remain as long as the church is in this world. The gospel will remain a light for her and a rest for her." It shall rest for a light, he said, of the people. The gospel is the light in which we see light. It directs our steps. You want to know which way to go? You ever want to know what to do? Continually sit under the gospel and it'll direct you. I find that there is just a general direction that the gospel gives us as we continually sit under it. It'll direct you. That's the reason, you know, I've said, when people ask me about raising kids, I said, just keep them under the gospel. Keep them, it'll direct you and them. And it'll direct you on how to raise them. It'll direct our worship. Our worship will be worship. It'll be worship. It won't be foolishness, it'll be worship. We look for no other light than what we have in the gospel. God's given us in the gospel. We look for nothing else. And he says in verse 5, "My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me. And on my arm shall they trust." Christ has brought to us. He said, "My righteousness is near." I tell you what, when Christ comes, his righteousness is near. He is the righteousness of God, by which God saves sinners. He brought it to us. Christ has come and brought salvation with him. His arms are open to sinners, and he'll judge those that despise him. But his arms are open to welcome and embrace sinners. And the Gentiles, he says here, the isles, the Gentiles. That's who they are. The Gentiles shall wait or look to him. We'll look to him who is our righteousness and strength. And they shall trust in the arm of the Lord. He said, trust in the arm. That arm of the Lord is Christ. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That arm of salvation, that arm of strength, that arm of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust in the arm of the Lord, Christ Himself. Now He says here in verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. These things here that you see, he says, are going to perish. Don't set your heart upon things that are burning. You would not set your heart upon a trash can on fire, would you? He said, don't. These things are burning up. These things, he said, are going to perish. But my salvation, the salvation that God has provided for us in Christ, shall be forever. It shall be forever. There will be no end to God's salvation. There'll not come a time when it'll break or fail. He'll never fail. Not at all. Nothing will break His secure hold of His people. Nothing. His covenant with them in Christ will never be disannulled. Never. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. No one will find a flaw in His righteousness. And it shall not fail. Listen. It shall not fail to justify all those that are His. It will not fail. It will not be abolished. Now hearken to me, he says in verse 7. I'm just going to go to verse 8. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, who've been born of God. I put my law in your heart. Fear ye not the reproach of men. Neither be ye afraid of their revilings. He says, listen to me, ye that know righteousness. You know the one who is your righteousness. You know him. You know it by imputation, and you know it by impartation, in whose heart is my law. Don't be afraid of man that shall die. What's it matter if someone casts aspersions upon me and says, you're crazy, you know, you're off on the deep. What's that matter? What does that matter? He said, don't be afraid of their reviling. They cannot do anything. They can't do anything without your Heavenly Father. He said, listen, I'll show you something about these men. I'll show you something about these men who do this. A moth shall eat them up. A moth shall eat them up like a garment. And the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever. And my salvation from generation to generation. They're not going to stop it. You notice here how such little things eat up those who act so big. He said the moth. It may take it a little while. You know how long it might take a moth to eat up this coat? It may take it a while, but it will eat it up. It will do it. These are the judgments of God. The moth and the worm. They may eat away slowly. The judgments of God may be a little slow at times, but they're sure. We saw some of that this past week. They are sure. They will happen. God will in time destroy all those who hate the gospel, who hate Christ, who hate His people. But here's what He's saying. Trust Him. Trust Him who is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Trust Him. Trust Him. As you walk in darkness, sometimes you don't know what's going on. Trust Him. His salvation of His elect shall be from generation to generation. I know we look at these generations and we think, boy, this is the worst time we've ever lived in. Well, God can save in this time just like He did in generations gone by. God can save your children just like He saved you. He can do that. His salvation, His elect, shall be from generation to generation. And He will always have a people. God will always have a people in every generation. Everyone. So trust Him. Trust Him who never fails.
Trust Him who never fails.